This episode of iRescue Radio is brought to you by ProCPR.org. Online CPR training, when you want it, where you want it.
Welcome back to iRescue Radio. I'm Roy.
I'm Jody.
I'm Dan.
And we're going to change up formats.
Yes. Again.
No, we're going to. No, but you know what? We warned them right off the bat.
Oh, this is art.
Yeah.
In motion.
Work in progress.
Yeah.
Well, you know, fluid. And we, you know, I think it's wise that things are always reevaluated.
Absolutely.
And we promised that we would not do this if it wasn't something that would be effective or helpful. There's enough trash out there that's not helpful.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the producers and we decided to try a new format. Yep. And the format is going to be this. Excuse me. It's going to be that we're going to try to discuss things that are really pertinent to our core business. Of course, ProCPR and Pro First Aid are the major underwriting companies of this show.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And we are going to really strive to focus on something that when our nurses, EMTs, doctors, PAs find the link to the iRescue Radio show from their newsletters, their training newsletters, which is primarily the way people are finding us, it's going to be pertinent to something that relates to us.
Yeah.
Like training.
There
questions.
You go. That's it.
Or accreditation questions or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought we'd put a three-part show together.
Mm-hmm.
First part being a good comment. Mm-hmm. Always start with jelly before you get to the peanut butter, followed by the jelly. So we thought we'd start with a good comment, a feedback, and we'll just use first names because there's a lot of people out there with the same first name. So I think it's safe to keep people... You know, unless someone says, hey, I want you to put that on your podcast and use my full name and my credentials. And we'll always honor that, too.
And I think in the end, it's going to look a lot like Goober peanut butter.
It will.
Like Goober and jelly
like
peanut butter.
Goober peanut butter.
I'm into it.
Yeah.
It's a it's a refound experience.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten it. And
I loved it as a kid.
Yeah, Dan could do quite well in college, I think, right now. In
ramen noodles, eight-pack of burritos, and Goober.
And Goober.
Sounds good.
It's kind of hard for me to roast a turkey in a college dorm, though. And,
or do those hot wings.
And hot wings. And, I'm into the
goodness knows we've tried.
Yep.
You didn't, have, an, you didn't have an oil fryer in college?
Well,
Roy?
We won't go into those details.
The fire department would say differently. Okay, so so after the good comment, then we're going to follow up with a spicy negative feedback comment.
Spicy.
We're open to constructive criticism.
Sure.
Yeah, and sometimes deconstructive criticism, because then that gives us a chance to answer back, to disagree, or maybe to agree and say, you're right, we're going to change that.
Absolutely.
Right? All right. And then thirdly, we always get, at least weekly, a really pretty decent training question.
Sure.
Or something related to the training on the site, the Pro CPR, or the Pro First Aid, or the Pro Bloodborne website, Pro ACLS. So we're going to try to comment and clarify or even expound on a training question comment. I like this idea.
I think it's good. And you know what's going to be nice, too? It'll be a little bit shorter, so it'll be easier to to chew on.
Right.
And to take a bite of instead of a 45-minute show. We're going to do a little shorter.
Yeah. I mean... Primarily, the podcasts I listen to, I can't dedicate 45 minutes.
No. My commute.
To uninterrupted headphone use.
If my commute was an hour and a half.
Still. Right. Then we're talking. If we're in L.A., in traffic.
Yeah. So, in spirit of that, here's our first positive feedback.
All right.
This comes from, this is a traveling nurse, and this is coming from, let me get her name here, Elizabeth. And Elizabeth says... Quote, I wanted to let you know that this is the best CPR instructional class I've ever had in 30 years of nursing. I want to thank you very much for making my life easier. She's in a faraway place. Can we say where she's from?
Sure. Do it.
She says, I'm in Alaska on a nurse travel assignment.
There you go.
and noticed my CPR was to expire in 3 weeks. The director told me I could not work without recertification, in which my assignment doesn't end until later. Plus, this is a specific hospital that would not teach civilians CPR.
There you go.
She says, thank you for saving my job.
Cool.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, we're happy to, Elizabeth. I mean, these are the kinds of feedback that really...
This is why 24/7, 365 is critical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. You know, back when we were doing classroom instruction, and there's nothing inherently horrible about classroom instruction. It's the way we've done it forever.
Right.
But there are some philosophical flaws to that, and it's timing, scheduling, retention of skills, and I think... Dan, 24/7, 365 is the
access.
Way most people live their lives. We need to have it accessible.
Correct.
And that was the major move 6 years ago when we decided to go online. Well, with I think CPR.
The primordial shift that occurred was instructor-led to student-paced.
Yeah.
This is the training that's designed when the student wants it, where they want it.
That's exactly right.
And that's the core distinction.
That's exactly right.
Well, cool. That's exciting. See, that's that. Not everybody lives in an area or works in an area where there's classrooms readily available all the time to teach you CPR.
Correct.
That's right.
And so there you go. Cool.
Yeah. So there's the positive feedback for the...
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Yeah, thanks, Elizabeth. Now for the negative feedback comment. This isn't that bad. We've had some bad ones. We're going to drum up some bad ones out of our...
the bowels of our comments.
Yeah,
bowels,
yeah. Yes. But for this one, this is a quite often asked question.
Frequently.
Yeah. And this is Lydia, and she asks, or she states, rather, I suggest the videos be before the test. It makes it more helpful with passing. We've had that question asked quite a bit.
Yeah.
In different ways.
Correct.
Why do you put the videos first before, you know, or why do you put the test questions first before the videos, and why don't you put the videos in there? Well, we've got an answer for that. When we designed the website, and each time we release a new update, we do tweak the layout. We're getting ready to actually have a new release of a fully re-engineered, rewritten website. As the design is not going to be all that new, but the workings of it will be newer. And it will allow us better flexibility when it comes to changing things around. But when we first originally designed the website, we had several dynamics that we really wanted to address. Number one, we knew that people that came to us via the web-based learning were usually, as healthcare professionals, fairly proficient with their basic life support. We knew that because of feedback. We knew that because of interviews. We knew that because of being in the education world so long, that these individuals probably more related to those who wanted to test out.
Right. More of a challenge kind of test is the way it we look at it.
Correct.
Which is what it's what
fully acceptable.
Right. A lot of traditional training programs
absolutely
use the challenge format.
And
you test and you're done.
In all fairness, I've also met training centers that don't agree with the test challenge. I've met instructors at different meetings and things that said, I don't allow anybody to test challenge. If they're going to come to me, they're getting the class and they're going to get trained well. And and that's not all bad. At the same time, when you use these skills on a regular basis, or you've been in the healthcare industry, and especially in basic life support, where you're talking about airway breathing circulation, really, other than every 4 or 5 years, some of the numbers changing, the basics of basic life support really don't change a lot. So we wanted to make sure that we designed a website that was not too complicated and that allowed people flexibility. For those that felt very comfortable with their retained skills in basic life support, we wanted them to have a way to challenge the test.
Right.
That is to say that they could go right into the multiple choice test questions, pass with an 85% or better, and then go on to either challenge their skills with a skill evaluator, which is called our blended CPR program, where they do the online portion and then they do the hands-on skills demonstrations. Or for those people that only need awareness level certification, mm-hmm. They're not required to have CPR, or they're not required to have certification as it relates to the ECC ILCOR recommendations. They, in many cases, can do it 100% online because it's more a continuing education. It's not a literal correct certification.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Those individuals are done. Now, in good faith, we wanted to make sure that they weren't just going in and answering 25 quick questions mm-hmm. and then scooting out. So what most people understand is that when they get done with our test, they're going to be mandated to watch core skills videos. Mm-hmm. On airway, breathing, circulation. So we have them go ahead and challenge the test, but then they actually will sit through the videos.
Right.
To leave that imprint on their mind mm-hmm. on the proper ECC ILCOR recommendations for basic life support for healthcare providers.
Now, if they watch those videos prior to taking the test, are they still required after the test to watch them again?
The way this test is designed, the way that this current website is designed, if they watch the videos ahead of time, they will still have the remedial videos after the written
post-test
test.
Okay.
So it will take a little bit longer for them to get through, but most of our feedback has been positive. Mm-hmm. Look, I'm already saving a ton of time. I'm already self-pacing this by doing this online. It's only helping me to watch it twice.
Good. Good to know.
We've had a couple of people that have emailed in and said, why are you making me go through those videos? Mm-hmm. We have some different ideas that are going to be coming out this fall that are going to change the way that works. And we think you're going to like it a lot. So we're looking forward to that feedback. But that's a good question. You know, why did, this would be better if there were videos. Now, for those individuals that are not as confident, it probably would be much better for you to go through the video section, which mm-hmm. we encourage. We give you that option when you sign up, that you could go through the video sections, as many or as few as you like, to become familiar.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And refreshed with the proper techniques, standards, and guidelines.
Now, the process of that, because upon registration, initial registration, mm-hmm. it takes you to a big radio button that says, take test now.
Mm-hmm.
At the top of our site, you'll see the tabs across the top, one of them being videos.
Yeah.
And you can click on that and begin watching any mm-hmm. or all of the videos that you need to brush up on.
That's exactly right, Dan. What we really want people to do is begin using Pro CPR as a tool so that they understand that the video review is there for them free 24/7, 365. Because we know that when people go through a classroom and it's all in one sitting, mm-hmm. they tend to do what?
Sleep.
And forget.
Jody, are you awake over there?
I know it. He's looking bad himself. Sheesh. New format's kind of hard on you, huh?
I'll tell you, this change business, I don't know if I can take it.
But it's too much in too short a time.
Right.
Actually, it's too much in too long a time. And I'm not saying 4 hours. I'm saying it's too much in one sitting. Mm-hmm. And so the loss of memory, the loss of those skills that have been actuated, we see drop off in memory within a couple hours to 2 weeks to 6 weeks. So we want people to come back as often as possible
mm-hmm.
or as needed. Go right back to www.procpr.org, click on the video review, and go into that library. And we left it so that you don't have to get sucked into a vortex of learning. We indexed it so that you could literally pick out what videos you are pertinent to your needs. And then get out. And then come back again and then get
out. Perfect.
Yeah. So if you have more questions about why we did it the way we did it, feel free to write us and we'll be happy to answer that. So Grace says, I think that if you combine the episodes with conscious and unconscious patients, for example, child, infant, adult, it makes it easier for some of us to put it all together. Mm-hmm. I was caught up in the number of compressions that I didn't even notice that you went to two rescuer where the child gets 15 compressions instead of 30.
Have you ever counted on the ambulance?
No.
I think I did the first day that I became an EMT. And then the other guys in the ambulance said, shut up. Yeah. Trying to get this stuff done.
Yeah. You know, we're trying to get an airway. We're trying to put epinephrine in. You know, in fact, the ambulance, advanced life support on the ambulance is what really gave me the philosophy mm-hmm. of slashing oxygenated blood around.
Yeah, you got it.
Jody, maybe they just wanted you to count without speaking.
No.
Maybe not quit counting at all.
But every class back in the day
yeah.
required you to count out loud. Two and three and four and five mm-hmm. and six and seven
Couldn't
and eight.
Couldn't be the Bee Gees song you were humming at the same time.
Stay alive.
I don't think so. Because back then it was 60 to 80 compressions a minute, not 100.
Yeah.
You are old.
Well, that's why they call it practicing medicine.
That's right. Well, the reality is, getting back to the question, the 2005 ECC ILCOR guidelines state that for children and infants, you're going to do 15 compressions of 2 breaths only mm-hmm. when you're doing 2 rescue or CPR.
Right.
And if you're 1 rescuer, you're still going to do 30 compressions to 2 breaths for everybody, whether it's adult, child, or infant. So, why in the world would they do such a thing?
Let the layman answer this.
Go ahead.
We don't know why.
No.
Go ahead, Dan.
No, I'm just telling you, from the layperson's perspective.
Okay, all right. Okay.
It's because...
job security.
Compressions and doing it by yourself is so physically challenging.
Okay.
That 15 to 2 is better, and if you've got 2, then it is 30 to 2. Mm-hmm. But 30 to 2 allows you to focus on one thing at a time longer mm-hmm. and not have the switching back and forth so frequent, mm-hmm. taking more physical requirement. But if you've got 2 people, the preferred method is 15 to 2 mm-hmm. just because you can with 2 people, and it'd be very difficult to do with 1. That's all.
Hmm. Have you been reading my circulation journals again?
That's not bad. That's not bad at all.
Oh, I thought you guys were going. How long have you been working here?
Pretty good for a lay rescuer.
not bad for mere layperson. Yes,
right. Well, the science behind it.
Hit it, Joel.
The science is that children and infants are respiratory-driven problems, not typically cardiac right. problems. So forever and ever, for ages, ever since CPR came out, it's mm-hmm. always been the mantra to think about airway first, and it's got to be good airway, good oxygen for children and infants. That's more important than compressions. Well, in the 2005 guidelines, that thought process has kind of changed a bit, kind of tweaked a little bit, because now the reality is if someone really has a cardiac issue, it's got to be compressions, because compressions are going to be king at that point. And the idea is you want to not interrupt compressions. You want to keep compressions going as best as possible. And so when you talk about doing 15 compressions of 2 breaths with 2 rescuers, okay.
There's a pause.
There is a pause there, but you are getting more oxygenation. And Dan, you hit the nail on the head. The reality is if you're doing that one person, you're getting
exhausting.
Bigger pause, more exhausting. So by having 2 people, you get the best of both worlds. You're keeping compressions going, and you're getting more oxygen for that child and infant. That's kind of the science behind it.
But ideally,
with less downtime.
Well, ideally, this kid's going to have a bag valve mask, or they're going to be intubated. So now we're talking about really limiting
mm-hmm. simultaneous.
Yeah, without any breaks.
Mm-hmm. And that's the idea, you know. And that's why that switch between 30 compressions of 2 breaths for one person rescue or 15 to 2 for 2. Why do you do that? Well, basically, that's
been asking myself.
That's right. It's still one of those things, though. Do the numbers really matter in the long run or in the end? Well, no, effective compressions matter. Get the air in there, slosh it around.
Pace of compressions,
mm-hmm.
depth of compressions,
mm-hmm.
and immediate response after
that's it.
Cardiac arrest.
That's right. It. I mean, yeah, 30 to 2, why not 29 to 2? How'd it work out great that it was just up to a zero number? So I think they did it for
consistency.
Yeah.
Consistency and to put a number in people's head just to... Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think if you were to be a fly on the wall in the consensus auditorium...
I wouldn't want to be that fly.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
You get smacked.
I don't think there's anybody with the ECC ILCOR board that would disagree that the numbers are not the point.
Right.
That you got to have a guideline somewhere. It's awfully hard to teach ambiguity of just saying, correct, you know, anything goes. And so you got to have a starting point somewhere. They wouldn't say it's going to make it or break it based on, you know.
Right.
Well, yeah, I think philosophically too. I mean, if numbers didn't matter and you had a rescuer that was literally doing one compression to one breath, there's something physically broken there. It's got to be sustained of something to make it effective.
Well, here we go. You went camping, Dan, right?
Begrudgingly.
Okay, there you go. You went to the campground that had the faucet you just turned on, though, didn't you?
Yes.
See, I go to the campground that has the old pump that you have to pump from the ground.
Mm-hmm. One pump.
Okay.
So you're going to get it out of the ground.
That's right. It takes like several pumps for the pressure to build up and finally the water come out, right?
Correct.
Okay. As soon as you stop pumping, what happens? Boom. Pressure goes down. So you start pumping. It takes five or six pumps again to get the water to come out again. Same concept with CPR. Once you start doing compressions, you're building pressure in the interthoracic cavity to get circulation to flow to the brain. You pump, 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 pump. When you stop, boom, that pressure drops.
Yeah.
And then you go back and you got to pump, 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 pump to get pressure back up.
Perfect sense.
It's the same exact concept. So the more compressions, the more continuous compressions you can do, the better you're keeping that circulation going because you're keeping more pressure in the interthoracic cavity.
Thank you. CPR for dummies.
You're not dumb.
No. And you're not a dummy.
You're smart.
So there you are from the training gurus of iRescue Radio. We hope this was helpful. And if you liked it, give us your feedback and comments. You can always call us at iRescue Radio as well and give us your verbal feedback and comments if you don't like to type. But feel free to go out to iRescueRadio.com and click on email to let us know training topics you want us to talk about or questions that you might have. And we'll certainly keep going in this direction as long as we get positive feedback. So until next week, I'm Roy.
I'm Jody.
I'm Recessa Danny.
Recessa Danny. Or it's going to stick.
Yeah.
Yeah. RD. Just call me RD.
Just
RD.
Recessa Dan.
Look down at Diane.
Look at, there's little Danny. And there's an adult Danny.
Well, I'm sorry. You know, it's a little discriminatory to have Recessa Annie.
Yeah, why can't it be a guy?
Thank you.
There you go.
Sure.
Recessa Danny.
For years I've pondered it.
Yeah, Recessa Danny.
At least last minute and a half.
Do you need royalties?
I'm a king in my mind.
That's what matters, doggone it. Have a good week.
Bye-bye.
If you have anything you would like to contribute to iRescue Radio, you can contact us toll-free at 866-661-5701 or visit our website at iRescueRadio.com.
The commentaries in this podcast may not reflect the views of iRescue Radio or any of its sponsors or subsidiaries. iRescue Radio will not be held liable for any damages resulting from the advice given in this podcast.